We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Can I talk football here for a minute?
Dave Wannstedt.
Dave Wannstedt has guided his Bears to the playoff, and he knows what it takes to succeed.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here, and Dave Wannstedt, there's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
A superb game plan defensively by the Miami Hurricanes.
The party has begun in Miami.
Super Bowl champion.
They swarm to the ball so incredibly. This speed-burning defense, number one in the NFL. Dave Wannstedt, the defensive coordinator.
Football analyst for Fox Sports and NBC Sports Chicago.
I would gut the defense right now, and I would get four first and second round picks for next year. I'd hire Jimmy Johnson and Dave Wannstedt to run my draft. They could sit on Jimmy's $200 billion boat, drinking bourbon, smoking cigars, putting together the best damn roster in the NFL for the Chicago Bears.
Dave Wannstedt.
I see light mango, 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 mango.
With Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
It's Decker and Ranji filling in this afternoon on 670 The Score. We're going to talk with White Sox pitcher Lucas Giolito at 5 o'clock. Here this afternoon, but right now we are joined by Dave Wannstedt, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And Wani joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Wani. How are you?
I am doing good, fellows. Absolutely. Yes. Just, it's kind of exciting. Obviously, we got happy Thanksgiving to both of you, by the way. And, it's exciting. You got Thanksgiving. You got the Bears playing. Hopefully they can get a win, get back on track. So a lot of things going on, hopefully with good results.
You know, we've been spending so much time talking about the Bears today and the controversy, and you being someone that's been part of that staff. What do you make of all of this as a former coach?
Well, as number one, I would be very, very surprised if the McCaskies would let Matt Nagy go at this point in the season. Because I know starting at the top, and none of these major decisions, no one gets hired, no one gets fired without, you know, Virginia's okay. She's got to have the final say. And obviously she's going to listen to all the input from George and from whoever else is in the decision. But with that being said, they are such a traditionalist from a tradition of what the Bears were when George Halas was there. And this is the tradition on how we do things. This is the tradition on how we've always done things. And they've never let a coach go in the middle of the season. So this would be something that would be outside the box if they did that. Now, you know, the thing that really bothers me is, you know, and yes, is Matt Nagy, he was hired to put in an offense. He was hired to coach quarterbacks. It hasn't worked out. So we put that aside. But at the end of the day, it bothers me on how this whole thing unfolded this week. I think it's really kind of an embarrassment on the organization. I think it's a little bit of a black eye. I know it is. And I'm sure that the guys tomorrow in the pregame shows on Fox and Troy Aikman and Joe Buck during the game, they're not comfortable with it. I can tell you that. Not that Nagy should be the coach or shouldn't be the coach, on just how you handle things from an organization standpoint. So I'm disappointed in that side of it, to be honest with you. But, we'll see how the players respond. And I do think that they're going to respond well. I really do think and believe that these players like playing for Matt Nagy. And I think they're going to come out tomorrow and they're going to start the game and give a good effort.
To recap what's happened this week, earlier on Monday, we find out, or we get a report that Matt Nagy has lost the locker room, according to some players. And then we find out yesterday that he has been told, according to a different report, that he's going to be let go after the game tomorrow. And then today, another report says that George McCaskey told the team that that report is not true. And so you mentioned this earlier, that they have never fired a head coach in the middle of the season. Is there a benefit with the, and I know the quarterback can't play right now because of the rib injury. We don't know how long Fields is going to be out, but is there a benefit to keeping the continuity for the rest of the year, or is it better to cut their losses? If they were going to do everything that's right by Justin Fields, would it be better to cut their losses and move on as quickly as possible?
Well, I mean, what's that going to accomplish? I mean, you can say they're going to get a better jump on a new head coach. I mean, is that for real? Does that really happen? I mean, you think there's anybody out there that's a head coaching candidate that if they're really excited about the Bears, that they don't believe that this job is probably going to be open? So I don't really buy that all in. You know, I think it comes back to, you know, how's your organization treat people? Are you treating people with class? Are you treating them the right way? It's a business. You got to deal with the business. But, you know, I don't know. It just bothered me. This whole thing bothers me, the way it's coming down, and whether Matt's going to be back or not. I don't know if he knows. Maybe he does. But, you know, just to let him kind of out there all week. And these rumors, let me tell you something. I'm part of the media now. But the media loves when the train goes off the tracks. You know, if the train's on time, there's no story. So the media loves creating, you know, controversy, and they love stirring it up. So when someone comes out and says, oh, this source said that he heard this and this source said he heard that, I don't believe about 80% of it, to be honest with you. Because it's usually somebody that's just trying to get a headline and trying to get ahead. And so they're going to do that at someone else's expense.
You know, you talk about sources and this. Instead of asking you anything about sources or anything you've heard, I just want your flat-out opinion on this. And, you know, you just mentioned likelihood that Nagy, this is likely his last year with the Bears and likely not going to be fired midseason because it's not really the Bears' MO. But what would it take for Nagy to say on the flip side, actually keep his job? What would he have to accomplish going forward for the rest of this season?
I don't think he will. I don't think he can do anything. You know, obviously you could say, oh, you're going to win out. I mean, that's not going to happen. I don't think that can happen. You know, one thing about owners, they don't know much about football. Very few of them do, but they do. They are smart people. And they know numbers. And, you know, I used to tell my assistant coaches, we cannot have 12 guys on the field. We can't have 10 guys on the field. Owners count numbers, and they also count numbers in the stands. And owners are influenced by what's going on Sunday in their stadium. And, you know, when people stop showing up and all this negativity going around with Bulls games and all that, I just think that the groundswell has got them. They've got to make a change. It's just a matter of when and how they do it.
I asked this question of Olin Krutz earlier and Dave Wannstedt visiting with us here on 670 The Score. And the question was, is everything that's going on with the Bears right now for a player that might be a free agent or a player that might become available during next offseason and has some say in where he ends up playing, can all of this stuff that's happening now deter them from wanting to be here?
Well, my opinion, and I don't know what Olin said. I didn't hear the show, but number one, money talks. So we talk about all these players wanting to do this and wanting to go here and wanting to live there and state taxes. And yeah, is all that little part of it? Yes. That money talks. If whoever offers the most money, they're going to go. Now, if the money's close, let's assume that the money's close. Then most of these players want to be associated with a winner. You know, they want to be tied in with a winner. And usually winning ties in with good organization. So then it becomes a factor. But the underlying factor on all this free agency stuff, I mean, I've done it. We brought guys in here and the Dolphins and in every place, the Cabo, every place I've been. And, you know, we're recruiting them and taking them to dinner and we're selling them on what a great city and on. At the end of the day, somebody offers them a bigger contract, they're gone. That's the end of it.
Dave, I got to know. We can talk about free agents all the time, and we're talking about coaching staffs a little bit, and obviously knowing full well that this is probably going to be it for Nagy again. Who's out there that you think is a free agent on the coaching side that you think could steer this organization in the right direction, yourself included?
Well, myself is not included, so but thank you for the comment.
But it should be.
I can make that. That was probably the one question that Danny Parkins left for you guys to ask me. If he left one question, that sounds like that'd be something. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
I figured that.
Yep.
But you know what? Obviously, when you look at this football team, the defense is getting old, right? The defense is going to need some retooling. It's going to need some reloading, as we say. You know, I mean, who knows where Khalil Mack is when he comes off his injury? Akeem Hicks is getting up there in age. Danny Trevathan's getting up there in age. I don't have the roster right in front of me, but Robert Quinn's having a great year, but he's getting up there in age. And age usually equals injuries in the NFL. Where all the young talent is, in my opinion, is on the offense. You know, you've got a quarterback in place. You've got a young tight end that's going to be a star. You got Mooney, a receiver that's going to be a star, potential star, all these guys. You got two good young running backs in Montgomery and Herbert. So, and you got a couple offensive linemen that are young guys that are playing good and only going to get better. So, you know, personally, does it have to be an offensive guy? I would say no. And, you know, I think you get the best head coach, somebody that can come in here and gets the whole picture, offense, defense, special teams. And you can go out with that talent on offense. And if your head coach is a defensive guy and that's the best guy, I would not shy away from it because you've got enough talent and you got enough money that you're going to be able to go get the best offensive coordinator that you want to come in here and run this offense. So, you know, now if you didn't have talent on offense and you were starting from scratch to kind of ad lib and figure it out, you know, it might be a different story. Now you might need expertise over there from a head coach, but the situation the Bears are in, I think they just need somebody that's been an offensive coordinator, experience. And, you know, the one thing, guys, and it's changed, and a lot of these young guys are having success, but back in the day, you didn't get an interview for an NFL head coaching job unless you were a coordinator on a playoff team. And you very seldom got an opportunity and you got offered a job unless you were a coordinator on a Super Bowl team. And the thinking behind it was the owners back then, you know, they wanted to see you, you know, under stress as a coordinator. You know, what are you calling on the goal line on fourth and one? And okay, it's backed up and you got the game won. It's a 2-minute drill. So they could get a feel for how you would coach a team and how you and that you were through the fires and that you had the experience. So nowadays, though, I mean, that's not the case in a lot of situations. But here with the Bears, I would get somebody who's experienced and done it. Doesn't have to be a head coach that was a head coach before. You can hire a great coordinator, offense or defense, in my opinion. But he better have been a coordinator for more than 6 games or whatever Matt Nagy was, you know, at Kansas City. I mean, that's not being fair to anybody, including the coach.
Well, Dave, you being a guy of a defensive background, you know better than most people that one of the things you can best help do to make your quarterback, or, you know, put him in a good position is have a good defense. That that really helps him out and takes off a lot of pressure and doesn't, you know, make him feel like he's got to throw for six touchdowns to win. And you laid out something that a lot of people have been thinking about for a while now, that the defense is getting old. It's not what it was in 2018. And you've had a lot of injuries already. You don't know who's going to be around for next year. I'm more concerned at this point with who is in charge of replenishing the defensive unit. So is this front office the right front office to do that?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I guess I have a little bit of a higher opinion of Ryan Pace than maybe most or majority or some. You know, I look at the young talent that he's got and he drafted, and those guys could play, you know. And I go back to Mitch Trubisky. I mean, we treated Mitch Trubisky like he couldn't do anything around here. And now we're seeing, I'll tell you what, look at the numbers. The numbers with Justin Fields are not a whole lot better, guys, from where Mitch was when he started playing right off the bat. You know, so is it Justin's fault? No one's saying that, but it was all Mitch's fault. So, you know, my point is that I think Mitch Trubisky has more talent than anybody in Chicago ever really wanted to acknowledge. You know, he kind of got thrown under the bus to some degree. And there was other players. I mean, Floyd. How do you get rid of Leonard Floyd? You know, except that someone says he doesn't fit into your system or whatever, so you get rid of him. And now the guy's playing his tail off and having a lot of success with the Rams. So, but how did he get here? He was drafted by Ryan Pace. That's my point, that I think Ryan's got a good eye for talent and getting players here. It, you know, for some reason, there always hasn't been a connect with a coach and the general manager. And I remember when I was coaching the Bears, Ron Wolf was, you know, this general manager of the Green Bay Packers, and Mike Holmgren was the coach, and Ron was as powerful a general manager as he was in the NFL. And Ron used to say publicly, I'm never going to draft a player that my coaches aren't excited about, because if I draft them and they're not excited about them, they're not going to put the effort into coaching them. They're not going to put the effort into extra meetings, and the kid's never going to develop, and we're probably going to end up trading them or cutting them. So I'm not going to let that happen. I mean, I'm going to go find the best players, and I'm going to make sure that our coaches study it, and they've got to be excited about this kid. So I think that we've missed on some players here that might have been more talented than we really gave them credit for, because there was a little bit of disconnect between the head coach at the time and the personnel people, Ryan Pace.
All right, Dave, quickly before we let you go, how do you feel about mac and cheese for Thanksgiving?
Sure.
I don't, you know what? I don't have that on my menu, guys. I'm okay. Sorry. I hope I'm not disappointing anybody. I got a lot of stuff on my menu. Coming up in Pittsburgh, that was just never, you know, it just seemed like we had so much other stuff. You know, it used to bother me because we would have two or three different kind of potatoes. You know, we'd have the mash and we'd have the home fries and we'd have the sweet potatoes. And, you know, so, I mean, I come from a background where we could put six different potato dishes on a table before we put mac and cheese. But I like mac and cheese. It's not at Thanksgiving.
You're right. Belichick is right there with you. You guys are on the same page on that.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. He was going on and on about potatoes the other day. All right. Dave, okay. Have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy it with your family, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay. You too, guys. Talk to
that
you later.
That is Coach Dave Wanstead visiting with Cody and me on The Score. Yeah, apparently Matthew Judon went on and on about mac and cheese and said it was disgusting. I think
it's
the exact
disgusting.
Words. I think
that's
the exact
ridiculous.
Words he used were, it was, yeah, he said it's disgusting.
That's a ridiculous, it's an absolute ridiculous statement, but it does not belong in Thanksgiving. That's where I agree with him. It's just, it does not belong there. And somebody wrote actually in the Twitch stream saying that's a Southern thing. It shouldn't be.
Well, a lot of things that are a Southern thing shouldn't be.
That feels like that's a black... It's like an endless excuse whenever somebody's doing something atrocious. Well, it's a Southern thing. It's not regional. An excuse. You don't just
I don't think mac and cheese for Thanksgiving is a Southern thing. We have my brother-in-law's mom has always made mac and cheese for Thanksgiving, and that's Springfield. So that's some people consider Springfield the South. So that's up for debate, I guess.
When we come back, I'm going to tell you about something Southern that's truly disgusting. I'll tell you about it, and it's really, really gross.
Ladies
and
gentlemen, that's a tease from a pro.
It's a thing. It is a thing you're supposed to eat, and I don't think Cody Decker is going to eat it. Cody Decker, Chris Ronji, in for Parkins and Spiegel on The Score.
That's a tease for all you listeners out there. Stay tuned.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
That's an all-time gag from a show, WKRP in Cincinnati. I knew what that was because my dad used to watch it, and they did a promotion where they, what was it?
It's WKRP in Cincinnati.
Yeah,
you gotta if you're gonna actually say, you gotta sing the jingle, man.
Oh, okay, I was gonna let you do it. Can I tell you something? I'm actually really impressed with you, Cody Decker. That's Cody Decker. I'm Chris Ronji. Parkins and Spiegel are out. For somebody, you're 34, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know a lot of stuff. You know a lot of stuff, that like things that happened before you, you know, before you were born.
It comes with the territory of being a genius and a savant.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
You're a genius,
you just know
and
everything.
A savant?
Yes, it kind of goes hand in hand sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. More of like a high-functioning alcoholic that just knows everything.
Because you referenced in a text thread that we had earlier before the show, you were referencing My Three Sons, which was a show that was on in like the 50s.
Yes. Chip, yeah. Ernie Douglas, My Three Sons. Love that. Good show. Classic. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, man, I grew up on Nick at Night. I know just about anything about any. If you need to know a lot about TV shows in the 60s, I'm your guy. If you need need someone to help you change your tire, call someone else.
Hey, that's me, too. Yeah. I'm the exact same
I know
same
how
way.
To change it. Yeah, but I know how to change a tire. I just choose not to because I'd rather someone else do it.
I totally agree with you. I would rather call AAA. I got it for a reason. I'll wait the hour. I'll wait the hour for you to come and change it for me.
Listen, I've done enough manual labor in my lifetime. At this point, someone else is doing it. I just don't feel like getting grease on my hands. I'm not changing my tire. But if you need to know a lot about home improvement, I'll probably be your guy.
All right. The so WKRP, for people who don't know, they had a promotion or something, and it was about a radio station, obviously, where they were going to release turkeys from a helicopter, thinking they would fly, and they all just hit the ground and died. So they murdered a bunch of turkeys, which is a really, that's a funny bit. And maybe we should recreate it. We shouldn't kill the turkeys. Don't kill the turkeys.
The genius of the bit is the way they portray it without actually showing the turkeys. Like just the reporter out live announcing it is just brilliant.
And Adam knew about this show too. I can't believe you young people.
That's like the only thing I know from that show. I don't think I've actually seen an episode. I've just seen various clips of it, mainly
that's
of
all
that
I know
bit.
Too. Yeah, that's the
you know,
only
we,
thing
we
I
are
know.
All working in radio, though, so it should make sense that we do know quite a bit about WKRP in Cincinnati.
You can sing, too.
Oh, don't threaten me with a good time. Yes, I can sing. I starred in many musicals and plays. Well, you know I got some pipes. Listen to these things. I can go all day, son!
You were in musicals? Are you joking or is that real?
That is 100% real. I was one of the leads of a theater company in Santa Monica, California called the SMCLO, Santa Monica Civic Light Opera. I grew up in high school. It was a big theater company in Santa Monica, you know. I starred in some plays, man, and I did star in one musical. It was The Music Man. I was Professor Harold Hill.
76 trombones.
Yep, sang it, did it, danced, dig it. Man, wow. And by the way, and you know what's great about that part? I didn't really have to sing at all. I could just talk through everything. Man, and it's not that hard. You just got to talk fast, tell people all about a boys band. It is very, very, very simple to sell those Iowans on anything.
Oh, the Iowans. They're very easy people.
Yes, they are.
I was telling you guys about this Southern food item, and this isn't really a Thanksgiving thing. It's just a thing they do. Red eye gravy. You ever heard of red eye gravy?
I got to tell you, I have never heard of red eye gravy, but can I take a guess on what it could be?
Yeah, go ahead. I want you to guess, and then I want Adam to guess.
All right. First things first, we're going to talk gravy. So obviously you have the consistency of a gravy,
yeah.
But I'm just assuming.
And then we'll talk
a
turkey.
I'm going to say tomato. It's mixed with a lot of tomato.
Adam, what do you think?
I'm not even sure. Red eye gravy.
That's right.
I don't know. I can explain why I think this, but I feel like there's like a raw egg involved or something like that.
Oh, okay. God. Oh, God, no.
No. No.
Oh, okay.
It's got
way off. Yeah.
No. Yeah. It's there are two ingredients.
Oh, no.
Bacon grease and coffee.
Oh.
That's it.
Oh,
so what they do, and this is a Southern thing. What they do is they take the bacon grease, one part bacon grease, one part coffee, and then they put biscuits in it. Like you dip the soft part of the biscuit into the gravy. And then if you're having ham or whatever, you put the ham on top of the biscuit.
Listen, I grew up a fat kid.
Disgusting.
I'm all for bacon grease. I grew up very, very heavy when I was young. I loved bacon just about more than anyone you've ever met. But for one second, I'm never going to dip my things into bacon grease and use it like it's a delicacy. Again, it's that Southern thing. You can't just say, it's a Southern thing to like blanket like reference why disgusting things exist.
I don't know. But one thing I did learn, because I knew about red eye gravy, my mom had told me about it. But one thing I found out looking it up during the break, it's also called bottom sop, which I thought was something different. I thought bottom sop was different.
That's just the most nauseating
bottom sop
title.
Sounds like the bottom of a trough for pigs.
Oh,
That's not what it sounds like to me.
What's it called again?
Red eye gravy or bottom sop, S-O-P, sop.
Bottom sop sounds like what bartenders have. Yeah, bottom sop sounds like what bartenders have underneath their drink tray at the end of the night that they have to pour out. That's just this unholy concoction of, you know, everything they had to pour.
I think if you drink that, it's called a wounded soldier.
Apparently, bad story for you, because yes, I have bartended in my life. I had to bartend in off seasons growing up, and you know, when I was playing in professional baseball, every off season I was a bouncer, I was a bartender, I ran a traveling trivia show, you name it, I did that job. But while bartending, my first night bartending, it was a rite of passage at this place I worked at. Coincidentally, the bar I worked at was called South, so this actually completely makes everything make sense.
It checks out.
Yeah, so at the end of the night, they had to pour it into a shot. Since it was my first night, I actually had to drink that shot. It was the most nauseating thing I had ever put in my mouth. And to this day, I have not fully recovered.
So is it worse than Malort or better?
Oh, Malort's great. Ooh. I don't want to hear that.
Malort's not great.
No, I love Malort, actually.
Malort is. Yeah, it's nice.
Malort's than Malort, though. I will say that. It was definitely worse than Malort.
Absolutely.
So many worse shots than Malort. I don't know why Malort got this horrible reputation. Like, it's not that bad.
You know what? The only drink that deserves its negative reputation is Jägermeister. And here's why. Jägermeister, back when I was in college, everyone thought they were clever by getting into Fernet. And he's like, no. Everybody, all the old people drink gin and whiskey. We're going to drink Fernet. It's all about that Jägermeister. I have not touched Jägermeister since I was 20 years old. I had a bad experience.
Yeah, see, I think Fernet's is worse than Malort.
I don't like Fernet either. I think that's really bad. There was the first bar like that we called our bar in Chicago was called McGee's over by DePaul. It was the first bar that my friends and I used to go to regularly. So they would get to know us from being in there. And there was this one bartender who, you know, one day he said, "Hey, what do you guys want for a shot?" And my friend didn't really know what to say because no bartender ever asked us that. And he froze, and the only thing I could think of was Jaeger. So he poured Jägermeister for us. We all hated it. Nobody liked it, but it's the only thing stupid Greg thought of. And So every time we went in that bar, the first thing that bartender did was line up shots of Jaeger for us. And we didn't have the heart to tell him. We hated it.
Oh, yeah. The answer is because stop going to that bar ever.
But it was such a great bar.
But they can't. But it's not a great bar if they start your day off with a Jaeger without even asking you.
He thought he was being nice.
Oh, no, 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 no. That is pure punishment. That is honestly punishment in many, many countries.
No, what we should have done is turn Greg into the police. Should have had him arrested. Terrible friend.
Oh, is his nickname the actual
actually
police.
Stupid Greg?
He's Stupid Greg now. Yeah, I've been calling him Stupid Greg for a while.
For a second there, when you said turn him into the police, I didn't realize you meant the actual police. I thought you were talking chorus of So Lonely.
No, we're not doing that. But yeah, enjoy your red eye gravy. You guys should try it. I've never tried it. Not going to.
I think I'd try it.
Well, you talked but about like is... we talked about like you know, macaroni and cheese being on the table. What is something that you just can't go without during Thanksgiving? Because to me, and this is an unpopular opinion, I don't know why it's an unpopular opinion, but canned cranberries is where it's at. Anyone that gets the regular cranberries is wrong. Give me the gelatinous. Don't even cut it. Just give me a cylinder of what I think might be cranberry adjacent.
Just take it like in that Simpsons episode where Bart just like pours the can out onto a plate and that's it.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's what you want.
Give me that and give me a fork and get out of my way.
I'm going to give you my two very unpopular opinions. I do not like cranberry sauce at all in any form, and I hate apple pie.
What? How can you hate apple pie?
Just don't like it. I don't like warm, mushy apples. Don't like it.
Okay, what is the pie your go-to? Because me, I'm a banana cream pie guy. You put a banana cream pie, that's going to be destroyed. Yeah. But what's
banana
your go-to?
Cream pie. Blueberry pie, pretty much anything else.
Any other, I can even any get of the down fruit with pumpkin pies, pie. But not apple, huh? Not apple.
Just not apple. I don't like warm, mushy apples. I'm sorry.
I think that pumpkin pie is overrated.
You know what's funny? We always talk, you know, you mentioned the WKRP in Cincinnati episode. But you know what's funny? We don't really see a whole lot of Thanksgiving movies, but a lot of classic Thanksgiving television shows and episodes. In your opinion, if you had to pick one Thanksgiving episode of television that you have to watch every Thanksgiving, is there one that immediately comes to mind? Because for me, there's one episode of one TV show that I have to watch.
No. Thanksgiving, no. There's not something I know that I have to watch.
For me, there is one Friends episode. And I'm not the biggest diehard Friends guy, but I gotta say there is a Thanksgiving episode with Brad Pitt that is one of the funniest half hours of television ever to take place. And it's Brad Pitt, and he absolutely despises Jennifer Aniston. It is the single funniest episode. It is perfection around the Thanksgiving table.
Off the top of my head, I don't think I can think of any kind of Thanksgiving episode of any show. Like, nothing sticks out to me.
Do you watch Bob's Burgers?
You see, everyone tells me to watch it.
Bob's Burgers has legendary Thanksgiving episodes.
Do they?
Yeah, and like Bob, the main character, almost always ends up drunk and singing to his turkey baster. It's hysterical. Like, it's amazing.
Well, now, if you ask me about a Christmas episode, the first one I'm going to think of is the Always Sunny Christmas special where they try to hide Frank in the couch.
That's a classic one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's
the only
amazing
thing I think of. The leather couch and he's sweaty. I think it's the Christmas episode, right?
Wait a second. But
Christmas special that they did at like the end of season 5, Always Sunny Christmas.
Guys, it's November 24th. What are we talking about Christmas for? We got Thanksgiving tomorrow. Are you one of those guys, Chris, that sits around celebrating Christmas the moment October ends?
Cody, you damn right.
Oh, how could you?
November 1st.
Wow. We got a whole other holiday.
You know what?
It's tomorrow. I mean,
let's iron this out in a bit. And me, we'll hash this out, and you'll tell me what the problem is. I think you're wrong, but let's take a break. We'll come back, and we'll talk about that, because I think I want to hear what you have to say, but before I hear it, I can already tell you that you are incorrect.
That's Cody the thing Decker. About me. Never correct. Never incorrect.
That is Cody Decker. I'm Chris Ranji on The Score. It is Blackout Wednesday, which means it's the day before Thanksgiving, and tomorrow most people are going to be eating and visiting with family and whatnot. I bet you're driving right now. Probably a lot of traffic, huh? How's the traffic on the highways? Yeah, I'm sure it sucks. Cody Decker, Chris Ranji on the score this afternoon in place of Parkins and Spiegel. We were just talking a moment ago, Cody, that you think I'm an insane person for celebrating the Christmas season early. Once the calendar flips, and to be honest with you, there are some times in October where I might sprinkle in a little Dean Martin Christmas. I might do it.
Well, yeah, first things right. first. After I got married, I will say this. Yeah. I learned that Christmas music is actually not Christmas music. I found out that Billy Joel is actually the music that marks the time. So once I start hearing Billy Joel, I know it's the holiday season, but usually it starts right before Thanksgiving. But you're telling me you're full on celebrating Christmas before Thanksgiving's even mentioned, shopped for, brought up. Pretty much the moment you take off your Halloween costume, you're throwing your Christmas tree up.
Yeah, that's right. The moment the stores start to put up their displays.
Well, they're starting to put it up before Halloween now. I mean,
yeah, that's
I
right.
walked into a Walgreens right. and they had Christmas stuff up. I'm like, come on, man. It's not even not even November.
So as sporadically as you see that, like you say, okay, you go into Walgreens, here's some Christmas stuff, or you go into a Macy's and here's some Christmas stuff up. It's every now and then, like in October. But once you get to November, it's full on, let's go. That's how I am. I sprinkle in a little Christmas in October. November 1st, though, let's freaking go.
Well,
you know why? It's got the best. It's the only holiday with the truly great music to accompany it.
Do you go with a real tree or do you go with a fake tree? And by the way, I have a fake tree as well. I do have a little hole to poke in the holiday music. For instance, Jingle Bells. Do you know what holiday that was made for? Thanksgiving, baby. It just got reallocated to Christmas for reasons that have not been properly explained to me. But that was actually originally written for Thanksgiving.
It just makes more sense.
No,
Jingle Bells makes more sense.
Christmas has got enough, man. That Adam Sandler in the 90s was right. They got enough for Christmas. We get nothing for Hanukkah. We, you know, Thanksgiving gets none of the love. However, uh-huh. I will admit this fully. I do have a fake tree. Our tree does go up early. And when I say it goes up early, it's more that it doesn't come down. So we have a holiday.
Me too.
Yeah, we have a holiday tree. So right now, Thanksgiving tree looks great. Then Christmas tree will remain. It's going to be Hanukkah bush next. Then, of course, Christmas tree. Then it's going to be my birthday tree. You know, the love tree come February. Now the St. Paddy's tree. We can decorate this bad boy however the hell I want.
You know, I had thought about doing that exact same thing, leaving the tree up year round and then decorating it differently. St. Patrick's, you get the shamrocks on it and whatnot. But what I realized very quickly is the reason I leave the tree up for as long as I do is not because I want to see it more. It's because I'm just too lazy to take it down. That's what it is. And there was a time a roommate and I, we put our tree up. And the tree stayed up for literally 16 months.
Oh, well, I got something better for you.
Oh, no, sorry. Sorry.
No, go ahead. What are you saying?
Well, I was just going to say, so when I was in college, we did something similar to that, Ranji. We decorated the house for Christmas. Including me, there's six guys living in this house. So imagine the dumpster fire that it was anyway. But so we did decorate for Christmas the first year we were in the house. And the lights that we put up on the porch, we didn't take down until we moved out a year and a half later. They were up.
That's about right.
They were up for 18 months.
That's about right.
Oh my gosh!
I mean,
we turn them on all the time too. Lights are on.
You want something that's actually the same thing, but actually legitimately disgusting? And this is from my parents. My parents got a gigantic 2 years ago, a gigantic pumpkin for Thanksgiving, they got it for, Halloween. And I chose not to decorate it for them. So to be very lazy, I just stopped by their house. I grabbed a Sharpie and just drew a face on it. And it stayed up there for 30 days after Halloween. All of a sudden, Thanksgiving comes around. So I just come over and it's still in the exact same spot in their front door. So I just said, hell with it. I made it, dressed it up as a pilgrim. It was up for Christmas. I dressed it as Santa Claus. I kept it. It lived all the way till the next 4th of July when I blew it up.
So it didn't shrivel? It didn't rot?
I don't know. Maybe from the inside. It didn't smell good, but it still somehow looked like a pumpkin. I'm not really certain how this actually lived, but it did for a total of 7 months.
You know what I want to do? I would like to get Lucas Giolito's thoughts on this.
Lucas will 100% confirm this. He knows my parents.
Yeah,
this sounds like something he would do.
Yeah, I want to get his thoughts on this and how is Christmas or how early is too early to begin celebrating Christmas? And really, that's all we're going to talk to him about. Not even any White Sox stuff or baseball stuff.
Chris,
that's a
joke. At the end of the day, that's what you have Lucas Giolito here for. You need to know what Lucas is doing for Thanksgiving, not anything about him being a superstar or a Major League Baseball player or the fact that he's on the Southside White Sox. None of that. I need to know what he's eating tomorrow.
Nobody needs to hear any of that other baseball stuff. Nobody cares. Cody Decker,
no.
Chris Ranji, Lucas Giolito coming up next on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.